Each year, my students take standardized reading tests.
Commentator and teacher Daniel Ferry.
A few months later, we get back a statistical profile of each student's reading skills, which show if they fall into the 83rd or the 38th national, state, or local percentile. But you can learn even more by just listening to them read. Listening shows you which reading group they fit into. And I'm not talking eagles, bluebirds, or buzzards here. I'm talking which of the three universal reading groups they belong to. The want-tos, the will-dos, or the do-I-have-tos? Not everyone likes to read, but everyone likes a story. A good story in a book is like an artichoke. We pick through the leaves to get to the meat inside. Ulysses' journey home from Troy, the Odyssey, is such a story. It's got everything. Adventure, romance, monsters, trickery, blood, gore, and a hero that is tough, smart, bad, and pretty. He's like James Bond, Bruce Lee, and Shaft, all wrapped up into one tunic. And he is flawed. So flawed that his pride compels him to taunt the Cyclops with his name. And since the kids know what a stupid move that is, they will care enough to sit still for a discussion of hubris, the sin of pride, and compare Ulysses to sports heroes or CEOs or presidents. And they might even think about how little has changed in these thousands of years. Books we read. Stories we follow. Great stories we live. In my class each year, we read a 12-year-old's version of the Odyssey. If they show enough interest, we put on the Odyssey, the play. Several weeks of assigning parts, highlighting lines, blocking scenes, making props, negotiating decisions, dead ends, lollygagging, false starts, hissy fits, and disasters all follow. And it works. It works because there are enough different things for everyone to do. In every group, there's always someone who's good at getting the group going. Others love to read aloud. Others like to figure out who should stand where, and there are props to be made. Those do-I-have-tos, those that don't want to read the lines, are always dying to make the props. On their way back from Troy, Ulysses and his crew were stranded on the island of the sun. Cows sacred to the sun god lived there. Ulysses had been warned not to harm them. Like all sacred cows, Holsteins or standardized tests, any threat to them would bring swift retribution. The props crew were having a devil of a time trying to make the cow costumes. As I watched their frustration, I remembered the boxes. The district had purchased computers from a company whose shipping boxes are decorated to look vaguely like Holsteins. I kept some of those boxes, and like the sorceress Circe, those boxes could turn my students into cows. When I dragged the boxes into the room, the prop crew turned, stood up, and shouted, "Cows!" Then, in a flurry of string tape, scissors, and enough trial and error, they created the sacred costumes, and it was time for the play. So, Ulysses, draped in his bedsheet tunic, sat on Calypso's island, and he pined for home. While back in Ithaca, the young suitor schemed for his wife, ate his food, and drank his grape juice. His wife Penelope despaired. His son Telemachus searched for news, and wise Athena, flashing her tinfoil-covered spear, intervened, and finally we watched Ulysses and his crew sail their cardboard cutout ship toward home. But then they were windbound on the island of the sun, and it was time for the cows. They emerged, shyly, on all fours, those coquettish quadrupeds, the sacred Holsteins, the pride of the sun god, pranced forward, capering in computer box cardboard splendor. They smiled, we applauded, and they mooed.
Daniel Ferry teaches sixth grade. He comes to us by way of Chicago Public Radio.